With a voice that's high and clear and classic in Christian music spanning decades, spanning styles, Larnell Harris is here now.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Whether you know him as a soloist, with classic duets with Sandy Patty, or as a member of the Gaither Vocal Band, especially in their early years in their formation, and transition to cornerstone group in gospel music, Larnell Harris is undoubtedly one of the classiest and most classic voices we have. I'm extremely happy to welcome him here to the show today. With numerous Grammy Awards, over a dozen Dove Awards, this guy, and I hate to make people sound old when I say this, but my goodness, legendary comes to mind. Larnell, it's so good to talk to you.
Well, Daniel, it's good to talk to you, and I got to tell you, you will not embarrass me by talking about how long I've been in this. It's been a long, long time, probably over 40 years. Wow. And I have to say this, that my prayer hasn't changed not one iota from the day that I started. And that is, Lord, put something in my heart. Teach me how to give it away. So it is so good to be with you.
Oh. I like to go back to the beginning, if that's okay. And let's just talk about the early years. I mean, in the beginning, there was a little baby boy named Larnell born. And was Kentucky the state?
Kentucky was the place where I grew up, a little town called Danville, Kentucky. And probably when I was 7 or 8 years old, I met a lady there in town. Her name was Miss Georgia Dunahy, and there were many times that I wish I had never seen this woman. But she was a piano teacher, and she taught piano lessons to every kid in Danville, whether we wanted them or not. I really didn't want them. I got to tell you, I did not want to mess with that. I was more into sports and basketball and all those kind of things. But my mother, on the other hand, wanted me to want these lessons. So I took lessons from Miss Georgia Dunahy. And little did I know it, did I see it at that time. In fact, it's only been years later, after I grew up and really grew up in the Lord, that I looked back and saw the Lord's plan for my life. And you know what? It included Miss Georgia Dunahy. She played the organ at church for our choir, and unselfishly, she poured her life, much of her life, into mine. I did my first concert in our church back in Danville, Kentucky, when I was 9 years old, and I had been taught all the songs that I did in that concert by Miss Georgia Dunahy. To tell you the truth, you know, I started out with piano, but I was a boy soprano, and I didn't sing very much. You know, listen, if you haven't lived the life of a boy soprano, you just haven't lived very. You don't know anything about it. When I would sing, the church choir, the ladies in the choir would just cry, you know what I mean? And the kids my own age would just laugh and throw things. So it was not a pleasant thing.
I really didn't
want to sing. But you know what? She would not take no for an answer. And she would take me around to various little functions there in Danville, Kentucky, and I would sing, and she went to my mother and said she didn't want me to play football because the dust would hurt my voice. I mean, you know, I went through this whole thing. But years later, I look back on Miss Georgia Dunahy and others like her. Listen, I was back in Danville not long ago for Memorial Day. My wife and I go back, you know, to visit my mom and dad's grave site. And of course, everybody in Danville is out there, you know, and we stand around and we have conversations, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. So I found out that there was a lady who is now in a assisted living home, and she was one of the teachers in Bates School. That was a school that I went to up until my junior year. And then they consolidated schools in Danville. Well, I go to see Miss Fisher, and she has a little senility, and she'll tell you that when you walk in the room. She'll say, you know, and 1 minute you ask her, she's 95 years old. The next minute, she's 96. But other than that, she's pretty cool. Okay, she's all there. And I walked in the room, and here is one of the old ladies that poured into my life when I was in grade school. I mean, she knew my grandparents, and she knew my dad and his brothers. And I really didn't get that. I thought Miss Fisher, well, to tell the truth, I thought she was from another planet. But she was just a wonderful lady who also poured into my life. And when I walked into the room at 95 or 96 years old, whichever you
right.
She said, there is no one that I'd rather see. And I sat there and talked to her, me and my wife did, Mitzi, for probably a half hour, 40 minutes, took pictures. It was the sweetest time that I've had in a long time. And it's all because I have begun to look back at all of those people that I would have had to trip over and knock out of the way in order to thwart God's plan for my life. I am more a believer in that this day than there's a time that some of this stuff comes up. It's just words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm watching this unfold as I go back through old teachers. My first grade teacher, Miss Margaret, I said, I love that woman. Daniel, if I, you know, mm-hmm. I love Miss Margaret. Mm-hmm. And I was not going to leave the first grade. I mean, I said, I've had all the education I need. I'm going to stay with Miss Margaret. And just all of those old teachers that I'm going back who were saying to us kids in Danville, and it is my hope that my wife's a teacher. My degree is in education. I never taught, but it is my hope that all of these teachers out there, under the sound of my voice, are saying the same thing that I now know my teachers back in grade school and high school were saying. Listen, we've got something for you. Hmm. We've been out there. We know it's out there. And if you will sit still long enough, it is some kind of success, some kind of something that you're going to give your life to. It just so happened that many of the teachers that and people that have spoken to my life were Christian people. Mm-hmm. You know, they were Christians. And they spoke into my life, and they were saying to us, if you will sit still, and some of us had ceilings on our dreams. We'd never been out of Danville. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right.
I'd never been, you know, never, hardly Lexington. That's 36 miles away. My dad would get lost. My mother would fear that we were going to fall off the end of the earth.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean? GPS is not that, none of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
If you will sit still long enough, we have something for you. Mm. And if you will take it, it's out there. You will find your calling. You will have the tools to do something with your life if you will simply sit still long enough. And I am so thankful for those people who spoke into my life.
Larnell Harris, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
When Joseph was a little boy, he was driven by his dreams. God spoke to him, told him that he'd chosen him. And when others didn't understand, Joseph still believed and trusted him. Trusted and was willing to dream on. And the world just doesn't believe God has promised never to leave him alone. Dream on and follow hope wherever it leads. In the seed of dreams, there's not a valley deep enough that he can lead you through. He'll walk with you, walk the roughest roads with you. No mountain ever rose so high that you can't climb with him. And stand up taller, stand and look down on it. Dream on. When the world just doesn't believe, God has promised never to leave you alone. Dream on. Follow hope wherever it leads. Far in the cedar dreams,
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Today, my guest is Larnell Harris. You can find out more at larnell.com. So enjoying hearing his story. And of course, some wonderfully classic Christian music from Larnell. The church has been a part of your life since you were a child, as I'm hearing, right?
That's right. My parents were Christians. And my mom was always a Christian. My dad was not always. And as a little guy, I can remember hearing my mom pray for my dad. And she would pray for him. And as a little guy sitting at her knee, a lot of times he would not be there. He wouldn't be around. And I would listen to her pray for him. And I really didn't understand everything that was going on. I didn't understand everything that she was saying or the yearning of her heart. But I got to tell you something. I remember it now. And even then I knew that dad didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance at all. And he became a Christian and became that kind of spiritual leader of our home. He became a deacon of the church. There was a time I remember the pastor couldn't go pray for somebody in the hospital unless he took my dad. I got to tell you something. That's another piece of the puzzle. That's another piece of the puzzle of God holding. And I believe that God holds us in. He holds us in custody. Custody is, you're not a prisoner when you're in custody. You're just held. You know.
Yeah.
And I believe that He held me in custody. Because when I joined a church, even at 12 years old, like everybody listening, I didn't understand everything that I would come to understand about the Christian life. But being held in custody, God held me in a place where I could grow and continually grow and assess all of these things with my young mind until it got to a point where I could no longer go in the faith of my mom and dad. I had to get my own. And at that time, God had another guy sitting and waiting. And so it's just amazing. Listen, everybody, God does have a plan for your life. You may not see it right away, but just trust Him.
Larnell Harris, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We've got more of our conversation with Larnell still to come right here on Daniel Britt and Friends.
I went a sailing just the other day.
Where'd you go? Where'd you go?
Up in a big hot air balloon.
How high did you go? High, high.
I thought I'd take some time and get away.
You need it, buddy.
And take a lap around the moon. I got to thinking about the way we live and why we do the things we do. And while I watched the world from way up high, I saw it from a heavenly point of view. I got a
new home.
Way up here, can't tell you who is who. The maker model of the cars. Just tiny houses line the tiny streets with tiny pools and tiny yards. They take a lot of time and energy for the amount of joy they bring. Seems a shame to go and waste a life on such tiny, tiny things. I got a
new point of view.
It's a heavenly frame of mind.
New point of view.
Views just divine.
New point of view. I got a new point of view.
We spend our lives pursuing earthly pleasures, chasing dreams that fade away. Hey, let's set our sights on the eternal treasure that moth and rust cannot decay. Learned a lesson just the other day.
Where?
Up in a big hot air balloon. Say, maybe you should try to get away and spend a thoughtful afternoon. You'll find a
new point of view.
It's a heavenly frame of mind.
New point of view.
Feels just divine.
New point of view.
You'll find a
new point of view.
I got a
new point of view.
Now it's all becoming clear.
New point of view.
And now I understand.
New point.
Darnell Harris is with us. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And just in the short amount of time we've been talking so far, I mean, I feel so compelled to just put this on you, Larnell. I mean, we use the term artist pretty loosely when you talk about singers, musicians, writers, those that stand before us and bring a song or touch our hearts. But I have to say, you know, I see this whole process from your childhood, the piano lessons, all the way up to what you've become, and all the great things God has the places He's brought you and used you as this, a true artist. And I think if we were to go around and talk to your colleagues in the music industry, I'm sure they would echo that. How does that make you feel to know that that at this point, looking back through all the many years, the accolades, the influencing that you've had, that you could say, you know what, you didn't squander it. You used the resources, the creativity, the talent, the song to touch lives.
Well, you know, as we were talking before, when I started to understand, and when I really, you know, at that first concert, when I started, I was standing singing these songs, these lovely, wonderful hymns and songs like How Great Thou Art and The Lord's Prayer and some others. There were times when tears would come to my eyes, and I would cry. I really didn't understand what all that was about, but I believe even then that was God working in my heart. And he listen, I'm not special. He does that for all of us.
Yeah.
But the prayer has not changed when I owed it, and I am so thankful for that, because Christian life to me is pretty simple. Listen, put something in my heart, teach me how to give it away. That's why I'm here. And over the years, I am just so thankful that I've been able to link up as a partner with other artists and with songwriters and with producers, and do my best to sing songs that are sound from a scriptural point of view, that they do what they are intended to do, and that is to challenge a person from one place in his Christian walk to the next plateau, because there's always a next plateau.
Mm-hmm.
I am so thankful that the songs, even if I could say the words at 20 years old, you know, that was fine. I believe that, again, this custody thing, God had me in a place where he was still, you know, we always hear the phrase, God's working on me, you know, he's still working, you know, that's true. But I sing some of those same songs today, and they mean totally different things because I've lived some. Listen, Sandy Petty and I sing this song, I've Just Seen Jesus. Yeah. I know that he's alive. There's a line in there that says, and Bill and Gloria Gaither and a young man by the name of Danny Daniels helped with the music. I just saw Danny not too long ago. There's a line in there that says, all that I've done before doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He died on a cross, but I've been to Israel. I looked in the tomb. He wasn't in there. And so all that I've done, listen, when I was 20, I hadn't done very much. You know what I mean? I hadn't done much good or bad. You know what I'm saying? My mom was very strict. It was difficult for me to get down the block too much. So there wasn't much happening. There wasn't much bad stuff happening in my life, you know, under the guidance of a Pentecostal mother, you know, who wore that big white dress with them buttons running down the front, where she would flat run over you, praising her Lord. But now I've lived some. Listen, I've been married almost, Mitzi and I were counting it up the other day, 43 years. I've got two kids, two young people that we have loosed on this world that we pray to God that, you know, Lord, you've given us two perfectly good kids. Help us not to do anything to mess them up.
That's right. That's so good.
And God has led us in that. Lord put us in a good church. Boy, we're in a place where our kids went to daycare in the church that we're still in, that we still serve in. And I think that brings on a certain maturity. It has to. And I believe it has in our lives and in my life, because I can sing some of those same lines and they mean something totally different. All that I've done before, listen to this. All that I've done before doesn't matter anymore. Why? Because Jesus is alive. What does that mean? It means that he was not held by the grave, that he had victory over death, hell, and the grave, and that he is a compassionate, loving Father. If you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to sing about that until I leave this earth. I mean, that's worth the effort, Daniel.
Wow, that's good. I've got a pastor friend who says, and this sounds so arrogant, but he says to, you know, especially young kids and stuff, says, hey, look, you haven't lived long enough or sinned big enough to even have an opinion on it, so just sit down. But then the same guy will also say, you know, I don't care what you've done, what you've smoked, what your history is. You know, Jesus is there with open arms. And so I see both sides of this. There's a maturing process. But as that line in that song says, all that I've done before doesn't matter anymore. I've just seen Jesus. I'll never be the same. And I think that is the message. We get caught up in so much, and we could go off on this tangent. I know you've got some strong views on this as well. You know, we've all got our opinions and our bent, I guess, of theological things. But ultimately, it's about the resurrection. It's about forgiveness and the fact that he's there with open arms.
And he never leaves.
That's true.
And the scripture says, you know, he's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. I am just really thankful that that God is in my life, that Jesus died for me, and I'm not going to do anything to nullify the effect of the cross. You know what? Because I figured out with many others, there is just, no matter how good you sing or how many people listen to you on radio or you know, in this venue that we're doing this in, he is bigger than all of that and wants more than anything else in the world to be the center point, the thing in our lives that we always gravitate to. There's a saying I heard, I don't even know where I heard this, but it sure is good and it's worked for me. I have the awesome opportunity and responsibility to put myself in the place where God can do his work in my heart and in my heart and my life. You know what? It just doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
was dead. It is finished, he said. And we watched as his life ebbed away.
Then we all stood around till the guards took him down. Joseph begged for his body on that day.
And it was late afternoon when we got to the tomb, wrapped his body and sealed up the grave.
So I know how you feel. His death was so real. But please listen and hear what I say.
I just see Jesus. I tell you, he's alive. I'm just seeing Jesus. Asking what was her reason for tears.
And I sobbed in despair. My Lord is not there.
He said, child, it is I am here.
I just
I tell you, he's alive.
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Today, my guest is Larnell Harris. You can find out more at larnell.com. So enjoying hearing his story. And, of course, some wonderfully classic Christian music from Larnell. So I noticed that you didn't bring up one particular thing that I thought you might bring up in those early years, and it has to do with a pair of drumsticks. Didn't you start out in some capacity as a drummer?
You know what? I did. But the first thing I played in band in high school was saxophone, and I enjoyed that instrument after piano. And, of course, I had the piano to kind of bounce off of. Piano is a great instrument because everything's under your fingers.
Right.
And I pick up another instrument. Normally, I sort of picture the keyboard. So I played sax. And then the band director needed a drummer to the corps. So I picked up drums and started playing that. And, you know, I did pretty good at it. I did a concert a few nights ago, and a guy who had driven 80 or so miles to the concert came up to me afterwards and said, "I remember when your dad, when he remembered when my father went to his music store and bought my first trap set, you know, mm-hmm. with the cymbals and all that kind of stuff." Boy, that brought back some memories. My dad was in the coal business. And when I started playing drums, he suddenly needed an office way out back of our house. And he stuck my drums and me in there. And I lived in there. And I loved drums. In fact, I went to college on a vocal percussion scholarship down at Western Kentucky University and played in that marching band. And then I played a lot after college. I was in a group called the Spurlows. The Spurlows was a group, the group that I was in was a group of a college age young people. I had already graduated from college by the time I got there. And they were a group of college age people who sometimes took a year off from college or that kind of thing. And it was sort of did missionary work around the States. And Thurlow Spur had put together this group called the Spurlows. And to make ends meet, we did high school assembly programs. And we did that under the auspices of the Chrysler Corporation. Chrysler was supplying cars for a lot of the driver ed safety programs around the country. And we would go in as a sort of a commercial and do sort of a God and Country kind of fun kind of program. And in that group, we had probably 10, 12 singers and a whole band. And I played drums in that. Wow. So it was really my first gig as a drummer. I didn't sing in that at all until about 6 months later. But I love playing. And thought at one time that that's what I wanted to do. I was just going to sit back there in the back and just kick the band.
So at what point and at what decade or age were you when things started getting, not that you weren't serious before, but things started progressing down a professional avenue? I mean, where this was either Nashville, Tennessee, or major recording studio, or concert tours were really gearing up. I mean, when did that transition start to happen for you?
Well, I graduated from school, and then this group called the Spurlows was started. What we did driver education safety programs in the daytime, but at night we did a program called Splendor of Sacred Songs. And what we would do is, as we'd go in the daytime, because we couldn't give our testimonies in the daytime in the schools, we would invite all those kids to our nighttime concert. And that was a Christian concert, and we could Christian songs and just all kinds of really great arrangements, and we could give our testimonies, you know, in the church. And so as a result of that, the Spurlows were quite well known with among the recording companies. And my first audition at the Christian recording company was Word Records in Waco, Texas. And Kirk Kaiser, boy, that's a name I haven't thought about in a long, long time, a great guy. Uh-huh. But I sang for Kurt. I remember the song. It was a Gaither song. He touched me, and I sang that. And as a result of auditioning and getting to know the folks, the good folks at Word, I started recording with Word, and then started doing these concerts. And all this was quite new to me, but I had at it. And in anything that we do, I think sometimes you wish you knew more. You wish you knew then what you know now. Mm-hmm. But God just continued to grow me up. And it wasn't so much about music, but it was more about trusting him. I got out of the Spurlows after a couple of years, and I really had sung myself out, doing these, hitting these high C's two or three times a day over a band and all that kind of stuff after I started singing with the group. And I came home, and my wife was then pregnant. She took a leave of absence from a perfectly good teaching job.
right.
it was interesting trying to convince her father, who was an old railroad guy. Mm-hmm. He had corns on his hand as big as the face of your watch,
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to convince him that our lives were out there somewhere. Mr. Sloan, our lives are out there. So, being that whole romanticism kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And he wasn't buying it at all. he didn't understand that. Anyway, we did it. And Mitzi and I traveled on the road, and I was doing these concerts, and God just started putting it together for me. And when I got home after we had been on the road, a couple of years, Mitzi was now pregnant with our first, with Lonnie. He's our first. Hmm. And then I was having so much trouble singing that I couldn't sing. Hmm. So then I began to go to voice people and voice coaches around and was having an awful time with endurance and singing because I'd sung myself out. Well, the long and short of it, I believe with all my heart that difficulties and storms are part of our Christian growth. Part of mine, I won't speak for anybody else, but a part of my Christian growth. Had it not been for that storm in my life, there are things that I now know that I have sensed and understand of my Lord since then that I just wouldn't have gotten. And one of those things was to be able to trust him. Listen, during that time, we had bought a little house. I think our payments were $125 a month or something. We had no idea how we were gonna make this happen. And during that time, we didn't miss a payment on anything. God took care of us, and I came out on the other side of that because during that time, I simply immersed myself in the Bible. I mean, I had the Bible in my hand all the time, just soaking in the Word. And I got to the point, rather than going what I was doing at the beginning of all of this, going, why me? Am I not using my voice the way you want? What are you doing? I got to the point where I could say, Lord, if you are going to allow my voice to be taken, because he doesn't make these things happen. What does the Bible say? Good and perfect gifts come from him. He didn't make that happen, but I was responsible for that. I used my voice in a way that maybe shouldn't have been. But when I was able to say, Lord, if you're going to allow my voice to be taken, you must have something awfully good coming. And it wasn't 6 months after that day that I was in Waco, Texas, auditioning for Kurt Kaiser with half a voice, and God gave me during that time something that has stayed with me from that day on. You can trust me.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely?
when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me.
Darnell Harris, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. I'm looking through some of your timeline, and I see a bunch of stuff that's going on, but there is the steady continuum of Larnell the soloist. But we know Larnell paired up with Sandy Patty in these wonderful big ballads, these classic Christian songs. And then, obviously, with a lot of the folks who are listening right now are in love with the Gaither Vocal Band and that tight harmony, male harmony, and the influence that Bill has had in Christian music. And you spent time there, too, especially in the early years. What about 83 or so?
Yes, probably so. I really loved being in the vocal band. Gary McSpadden, who else was there? John Moore.
John Moore, yeah.
Yeah, who sang bass. and of course Bill, who sang the other part. We never could figure out what part that was.
I think they're still, yeah, and they're still trying to figure that out.
But you know what? He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's right.
But what came out of that for me was just a camaraderie of a bunch of brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we were all guys who were doing our own deal and kind of got together to do the vocal band. And I was I came in right after Steve Green had left and was starting his ministry. Mm-hmm. And it was just the right thing for me at the right time. I think what I got out of that most, first of all, was some great music. Mm-hmm. And to key in on the kinds of ideas that I really wanted to sing about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Big ideas, universal ideas, things that people struggle with, the things that we rejoice over. And most of all, just the good sense of grabbing onto a wagon that works. I mean, I'm a Christian because it works. God sent his son to die for me on a cross so that I could have life. And you know what? I believe that life is in him. And I believe I've had a life, the life that I've had of service to him. And it's been wonderful. And the friendships and that come out of those relationships is the thing that I also needed at that time. And the vocal band, has just over the years has kept that same spirit with different people. Hmm. And we all get together, the reunion that we did. It was like old home week when we hit Anderson, Indiana up there. It was just old home week as we got together and sang these songs of faith and then to sing them together. I think we've done it at the quartet convention a couple of times. And just to watch what those ideas, what those songs, what the spirit of those songs, what those songs still do is helps us to express what God means to us and what his love means to us. And so it's been a pleasure to be a part of the vocal band. And of course, Sandy and I are still doing some concerts together now, and that is always great fun.
When you joined in with the vocal band, was it and knowing Bill's love not only for innovation, but his love of the older style, the stuff he grew up with as well? Was there this moment where it felt, in a way, very reminiscent of being with the Spurlows? Did you have moments like that, and back with the group again, back singing harmony again?
Yeah, you know what? There is nothing like to me like being in the trenches together.
You know what I mean? Right.
And when we would sing these songs, it was a special sense that something was happening, and all four of us knew it. And you look at each other and you're singing this and somebody's crying and somebody has an expression of victory on their faces. And we fed each other. And I think the group still does that. That's why but it's all based around the truth of the gospel and singing ideas that help people to express their faith, help people to experience their faith, and help them to move from one place in their Christian life to the next plateau. And guess what else? We're listening too. And it moved us. And you know what? I want to come out of a concert, even to this day, having more fun than anybody, you know, because I'm listening to these lyrics and doing my best, just like everyone else, to put myself where God can make the stories and the accounts of his love and his grace and his peace a part of my DNA. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I'm allowing to happen. Now, it's you know, we're not going to be complete here. The scripture says when this corruptible becomes incorruptible. You know what? I always want to be headed in the right direction. Yeah. And I think nothing helps us. I think that music certainly helps us in that goal. The duet that Sandy and I sang called More Than Wonderful, written by Lanny Wolfe, you know, that was written for a Christmas CD. And we both got a call about trying that as a duet. And I knew Sandy. I of course, everybody had heard of her. Mm-hmm. And I said to the guy that called, I said, "Well, let me pray about that. You know, dear Lord, yes, of course, I want to sing this with Sandy." So we did that. But that song, Lanny Wolfe put it just right. You know, just a simple and to the point. What is God to you? He's more than we can even ask or think. He's more than wonderful. He's more than miraculous. He is more than I ever imagined. And just to think, this God, who is the King of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, loves me and cares for me. I want to sing about that forever. Mm. And that was a part of the, you know, Bill, he just loves great lyrics.
Yeah.
He loves great lyrics and loves great songs. He and Gloria just love that stuff. I've seen him on the bus hear a song and just cry like a baby. And I said, "Well, that's another one he wrote." But you know what? He didn't.
Right, right.
He just loved the idea of the lyric and loved what it was doing to him and what it would do to others who would hear it. And I always want to be a part of that.
And my mind can conceive.
Harris, what a classy gentleman in gospel music, a Christian vocalist, and really legendary status. I say that a lot, but I'd really mean it when we talk about Larnell Harris. And we're going to have to put a bookmark right here and pick back up next time where there's so much more of the conversation and, of course, a ton of great classic music that we'll relive with Larnell Harris. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.